Good morning. My name is Jeremy Africa, and I'm the lead pastor here at Midland First United Methodist Church. And we want to welcome you on behalf of all who are helping to lead worship. Want to welcome you whether you are joining us online on the church's live stream or whether you're here in the sanctuary. As we begin our time in worship, we want to highlight a few announcements for you, a few opportunities to join the church in our life and in our mission of helping people to know, love, and share Jesus Christ. To begin with, I'm going to hand things off to Pastor Bethany, who is the associate pastor and has announcements regarding upcoming rummage sale and the crop walk. Pastor Bethany?
Thank you, Pastor Jeremy. Indeed, I do have a couple of announcements for you. The first one is the rummage sale, which will take place this week downstairs in the fellowship hall on the 6th through the 8th, and it will be during our office hours, which are from 9 to 3. And I believe there is some information in your bulletin on that. And then the other announcement I have for you is about the crop walk, which will take place today, this afternoon, where the old farmer's market used to be near the Tridge. There will be registration at 1:30, and then the walk will start at 2, and that raises money for hunger in our community and around the world. And so we encourage you to join us in that.
Thank you, Pastor Bethany. Next, we're going to hand things off to Gabrielle Cook McElven, who serves as our music director, with an announcement about a special day of worship coming up in November.
Good morning, church. Before I make my announcement, I want to thank the praise band for giving us some gathering music today. It's a nice way to get us all together. Thank you, fellas. We are excited to announce that on November 16th, we are having our annual Great Day of Music. This is a tradition that has been in this church nearly 40 years or so running. It will be a worship service praising God for the creation that He has given us to live in. This year, our theme is All Things Bright and Beautiful. You will see more marketing coming out about this event very soon. We encourage you to come, invite your family and your friends, invite your neighbors. It's a really great and uplifting worship experience for those people who may not do church every Sunday. So we ask that you help us to spread the word and to attend on the 16th, right here in the sanctuary. Thank you.
Thank you, Gabrielle. With all of this, I will point you to that weekly e-blast once again that's being sent out to the church office. If you aren't receiving those, please reach out. Let us know. Share your email with us, and we'll be happy to share this weekly newsletter with you.
Okay, I'll bring you back. Please continue to stand for the call to worship. The thought of my affliction and my homelessness is wormwood and gall. My soul continually thinks of it and is bowed down within me.
For this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness.
The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in Him. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul that seeks Him.
It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord.
Please continue standing and join us in Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God, my Father.
Thou wast born, O Lord, ever.
we invite our children forward for the children's message.
Come on up, everybody. Welcome, everybody. Good to see you guys this morning. How was your week of school? It's nice and warm out there, isn't it? All right, today, welcome. As we continue to celebrate Pentecost in Sunday school, we will be discussing Luke 17, 5 through 10. In verse 5, the disciples said to the Lord, increase our faith. Faith means loving God and trusting God. The disciples wanted their love for Jesus to grow. Jesus told them not to worry. He said, with God's love, they can do great things. Let us pray today. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this blessed, beautiful, sunny day. We thank you for all of the children here and the adults, and we just pray that you will assist our team this morning at Sunday school to nourish the kids in your love, show them faith and what love is all about. And we just pray that everybody will have a blessed week. And we pray that you will address all of the upheaval in our world and that you will help those that are in need of food. And just be with those of all of that are in sickness and all of those issues that we are unaware of. But we just lift it all up into you, Lord, and ask you to help those in need, even though we may not know those needs. We just pray this all in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
And now we come to a time of offering. As the ushers are coming forward, I invite you to sign your name on the red friendship pad at the end of your pew and pass it down to see who you're sitting with this morning. We love to know who's here. We love to get to know our neighbors. So we invite you to do that. And I also invite you to reflect on all the ways that God has blessed you this week. Will the ushers please come forward? Indeed, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are worthy of all honor and glory and praise. Receive that today as you receive these gifts. All that we have to give is all that you have already given us. But we pray that you would use these gifts to further your kingdom and to bless those around us. We pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Lamentations chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Jerusalem, once so full of people, is now deserted. She who was once great among the nations now sits alone like a widow. Once the queen of all the earth, she is now a slave. She sobs through the night, tears stream down her cheeks. Among all her lovers, there is no one left to comfort her. All her friends have betrayed her and become her enemies. Judah has been led away into captivity, oppressed with cruel slavery. She lives among foreign nations and has no place to rest. Her enemies have chased her down, and she has nowhere to turn. The roads to Jerusalem are in mourning, for crowds no longer come to celebrate the festivals. The city gates are silent. Her priests groan. Her young women are crying. How bitter is her fate. Her oppressors have become her masters, and her enemies prosper. For the Lord has punished Jerusalem for her many sins. Her children have been captured and taken away to distant lands. All the majesty of beautiful Jerusalem has been stripped away. Her princes are like starving deer searching for pasture. They are too weak to run from the pursuing enemy. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. If you're in the habit of reading my note in our weekly church newsletter that we mail out every Friday, you might recall seeing some stark numbers. You might remember seeing that based on data collected in 2023 and 24, 17% of U.S. adults reported experiencing a lot of loneliness the previous day. This same measure rose to 25% among men aged 15 through 34. Or you might recall that among Americans who are bereaved, among those who are grieving the loss of a loved one, that 10 to 11% experience this grief in a debilitating way. And perhaps with all these numbers related to sorrow and grief, your mind is drifting to what took place this past Sunday in Grand Blanc Township at the Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints. The fact of the matter is, whatever our walk in life, there's no isolation, there's no insulation from loneliness or from grief or from sorrow. Not even faith. The words often attributed to the weeping prophet Jeremiah, recorded for us in the Old Testament, recorded for us in the book of Lamentations, reminds us of this. Here Jeremiah addresses a people, addresses God's people whose kingdom has collapsed. Having turned to other gods and relying on what they could do on their own, they had fallen out of God's favor. And with this came the defeat of their nation. With this came the destruction of their temple, which was a reminder to them of God's presence with them. And with this came being exiled from their land as a people. This is why Jeremiah wept. And this is why he laments, and this is why he is crying out to God. Our Bible reading for today, Lamentations chapter 1, verses 1 through 6, captures only the very surface of Jeremiah's sorrows. Reading verse 1 from the New Revised Standard Version, Jeremiah laments, "How lonely sits the city that once was full of people. how, like a widow, she has become. She that was great among the nations. She that was a princess among the provinces has become a vassal. In other words, has become a slave. Indeed, as one commentator on this passage observed, the mere word how here in verse 1 invites us to consider how grand a city Jerusalem once was. And also, how could such sorrow fall upon this once proud and favored people? Jeremiah's tears only become more bitter as he compares their fallen capital to a weeping widow. In this instance, a widow who is alone, one who is without a home, one who is enslaved and a victim of her pursuers. Her enemies prosper. Her children are taken captive. And all her past majesty and beauty has been taken away. While the events that Jeremiah is depicting here took place over 2,600 years ago, the fact of the matter is, we might imagine that times that we live in, or we might imagine the calamity in our lives, and acknowledge that we ourselves are not insulated from knowing such sorrow, or from our own lamenting, or our own crying out to God, from relief. It's interesting, as a second-generation Filipino-American, as I look back, there was a time in my life when I felt protected from such sorrow and misfortune. Part of this was the limited number of family members who immigrated to the United States. And so while my peers and while my classmates experienced death and loss of loved ones firsthand and close by, mine were often encountered with a vast ocean between us. And so while there was a sense of loss, there was a bit of disconnectedness with it. Admittedly, I attribute the other parts of this to being naive or in outright denial. But sure enough, these waves that come upon all our shores inevitably came crashing down on mine. Like when Cara, my wife, and I were first here 15 years ago, and we lost our or the time in our lives when we learned on the day of our son's baby shower that he had suffered a brain event in the neonatal intensive care unit. That would forever impact his life and my family's. Or that Easter Sunday, when Cara received a call from home informing her that her cousin and uncle had been hit on their bicycles by a driver, one who would later be found to have been impaired and charged with their deaths. During such times, where do we find solace? During such times, where is there hope? For Jeremiah, hope is found in the Lord, whose faithful love never ends. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 through 24. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. I know it sounds all too simple, even enough to be labeled a pat answer or a cliche, but I also know this, that when Cara and I suffered our miscarriage and I shared our loss with our youth and our youth counselors in the youth center after coming home from mission trip, I know that there was nothing cliche about the tears and about the comfort and the hope that was expressed to us by the youth, by their families, by this congregation, and our pastors. Nor was it cliche or a pet answer, that which we found in the Lord in the seasons of lamenting that followed. While writing this sermon, I found my spirit was led to the miracle of Jesus, wherein he healed a crippled woman who had been bent over for 18 years. Unable to stand up straight during this time, we find this miracle in Luke chapter 13. And even though religious law and even though the Sabbath stood in the way of Jesus healing her, Jesus set her free of her burden, saying to her, "Woman, you are set free." And placing his hands on her, she straightened at once and praised God. So if you happen to find yourself in the season of lamenting, my question for you is, what has you doubled over? What has you burdened? What has you doubled over with the weight of the world on your shoulders? My friends, I would ask you in this season, where is there solace? Where is their comfort? Where might you find hope? My prayer for you this morning and in this season of lament, that you will find all of this in Jesus, who is still setting us free, who still places his hands upon us and sets us free. May you find this each morning, knowing that the Lord's mercies are new for us every morning. Amen. Friends, with God's word on our hearts and our minds, let us join one another in prayer this morning. Lord, as the psalmist promises, you know our coming and going. You know, as each one of us stirred in the morning, and perhaps how some of us may have been stirred throughout the night, but you know the path that we are on, and you know the road that we took to worship this morning. And Lord, you know the very ones, whether in our sanctuary or in our homes or in our various places where we are worshiping now. You know that some of us find ourselves in a season of lamenting, a time when it seems like life's circumstances are too much. Where life's sorrows are heavy and burdensome. And in our loneliness and in our pain, sometimes even in our desperation, O Lord, we cry out to you. Like God's people having known your faithfulness, and wanting such comfort, and wanting such hope. God, I pray that you would reach into each of our lives and to provide the freedom through your grace that sets us free. Give us the courage to face the future unafraid. Give us the resilience to put one foot in front of the other. Give us such faith that we might trust in you. Lord, we pray this prayer for those among us in our church who find ourselves in this season of life. We pray this prayer for those in our community, O Lord, who seek such freedom. Indeed, we pray this for our brothers and sisters in Grand Blanc who are walking through the unimaginable. We pray this prayer for whom this world's burdens and chaos are shouldered by them. May we know of your mercies that are new every day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, the communion table is a place where we can encounter God's grace. It is a place where we can remember that great is thy faithfulness. We remember this by receiving the elements of bread and juice. We remember this by hearing once again the invitation Jesus extends to us to come and receive. We remember this through the presence of the Holy Spirit. We remember this through the time we share at the table as a church. We remember this as we gather with the saints who have gone before us. We remember this as all of us are invited. And so I want to remind you that as United Methodist Church, we practice an open table. You need not be a member of this church, the United Methodist Church, or any church, to come forward and to receive this sacred moment of God's grace. We simply ask that if you participate in communion today, that you are open to receiving God's love in your life. We'll have two elements here of bread and juice. We invite you to come forward through the center aisle and then to return to your pews using the side aisles. And we do have the gluten-free bread that has been set aside in the bowls, and invite you to receive those elements if you need. But at this time, I invite us to turn to page 12, or if you wish, your portion will be on the screen behind us. And let us share in our preparations for communion this morning. And so let us hear with fresh ears once again that Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Let us pray. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us continue in the spirit of prayer as we lift in silence our sins before God. Friends, hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
And lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. And on the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. And the cup over which we give thanks is a sharing in his suffering. I'm going to invite those who are helping to serve communion to come forward this morning. And as we are prepared, we invite you to come forward. Friends, know that God is here. Know that his shoulders can bear our burdens. Know that Christ's hands can lift them from you. And so I invite you to come forward and to experience God's grace this morning. Let us pray. God, we thank you for your tender mercies that greet us every morning. We pray, O Lord, that this sacrament of Holy Communion might feed our body and spirit, that we might know of your faithfulness and continue this faith journey with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to stand as you are able and to join us in our closing hymn. When we are called to sing your praise, you'll find it in the songbook on page 2216 or on the screen in front of you. This morning, as we sing our opening hymn, what caught my eye is "Some Who Sang." Now you might think, it's the opening hymn. Of course we're going to sing. But this morning, one of our youngest, Aria, caught my eye, and she's singing this hymn. She's in elementary school. I know Mom and Dad are teaching her about God's faithfulness. I know she's in Sunday school hearing about God's faithfulness. I know her grandparents are teaching her about God's faithfulness. And I'm thinking she's going to learn even more in life what she's singing about today. And then some of you who have invited me or who have invited Pastor Bethany to share the road with you and know the burdens of your hearts and the burdens of your life and to know that God is traveling with you and to see you sing this song proclaiming that God's great is thy faithfulness. It catches my eye. There are some seasons in life where it is tough to sing that hymn. May we remember that God's presence abides, that even in our seasons of lament, even then, God gives us comfort. God gives us peace. God gives us resilience. and God gives us hope. Amen. Amen. Amen.